Well, today is our last study in our series, God at Work, and giving your job to the Lord. And I hope you've enjoyed this series as much as I have. I hope it's been helpful to you. Do you know how much time we spend at work? Well, I read somewhere that if we live to be 70 years of age, the average person spends 24 years of that time sleeping. And that's still not enough, amen? 8 years of time in recreation, watching TV or leisure, hobbies, whatever, sports. 6 years eating. 5 years going somewhere, in transit somewhere. 4 years in conversation. 5 years in school, studying or reading. 4 years are spent in miscellaneous pursuits, which, by the way, includes church service, and that's kind of sad. But anyway, that's a whole other service. But did you know that we spend 14 years of our lives at work? Wow. Or as someone said, another way to look at it is if we work 8 hours, a third of every normal day is spent working. You want to get even more depressing? If we sleep 8 of those hours, which we like to, you are working half of your waking moments. It's getting even worse. Once you factor in commute time, winding down time, time sitting around you trying to enjoy your life but thinking about your job even when you're at home, or if you're a homemaker or a single parent, you just about are covering what? Most of your waking moments have something to do with your work. Yet for many people, the primary work that they do with their lives is a sore spot, isn't it? It's something they don't like to talk about, or it's something that's a point of frustration. It's boring. It's monotonous. It's just a means to an end. They would say, you know what? I have to work. I have this job just because I need to make a living, and this is what I do to do that. Well, this morning we know, even though that might be our experience, we know that God wants better for us as God's people, doesn't He? He doesn't want there to be some part of our life that we would say, you know what, everything else is meaningful, but this part, well, I just kind of have to endure it. I just kind of have to get through it. Considering that the majority of my life is spent doing this, if God wants to do something in my life, I'm going to have to think about this area of my life. That's why we're talking about this series, God at Work, giving our job to the Lord. But specifically today, we want to talk about making your work meaningful. And I want to give you two things that I believe will go a long way towards doing that in your life. Now, before we even start, I know that some of you might think that your job's not very important. You say, listen, it's going to be very difficult, Pastor, for you to spiritualize my job. It's just, you know, it is what it is. It's a job, and I'm a worker on that job. Friend, if you're a child of God, I want to teach you a few things about the Lord. First of all, God takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. In fact, it's all throughout His Word. Not only can He do that, did you know that's typically how God works? So if you feel like you've got an ordinary job, congratulations. You are right in line for the kind of person that God works through. Isn't that exciting? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28 says, God uses the unimpressive. God uses the ordinary day life kind of things. Also, you need to understand that God can make possible what we consider impossible. You say, there's no way God could use my job. There's no way. You can't convince me, I'm telling you. Or there's no way that God could use me in that place. Have you ever read Luke chapter 1, verse 37? This thing, virgin birth, whole idea, that kind of seemed a little impossible. Is your job quite that impossible? I don't think so. And the Bible says in Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. God is a God who does the impossible. So with that in mind, let's look at two things that might change the way you're seeing things. Whether you're an employee who we've talked to, whether you're an employer, if you want to make your work meaningful, first of all, you need to know that God wants you there. You need to know that God wants you doing what you are doing. The question is, am I doing what God wants me to do with my life? And I would actually emphasize this part, right now. We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. Am I doing right now what God wants me to do in my life? And I want to talk to you a little bit about the idea of calling. You see it all throughout the Bible. Let me give you some examples of that. Exodus chapter 3. Verses 9 and 10, God called Moses. We just celebrated the Lord's Supper, and that points back to the Exodus and where God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. But in order for Moses to do that, God had to come along and speak to him about doing it. And we find that in Exodus chapter 3. God says to Moses, "Hey, Moses, I'm doing something. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore," God speaking, "I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them," his people. Then in verse 10, "Therefore, come now, and I will do what? I will send you." Moses was all excited about, "God, you go, Lord. You're doing something. You're doing something." And then God says in verse 10, "Therefore now, I'm sending you." Another example is Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Two examples that we find in the Bible of many examples where God is at work, and most of the time when God is doing something, He calls someone to be a part of it. You say, "Yeah, but Pastor, I'm not leading an Exodus, okay? I make medical catheters, you know, or I pump gas, or I'm a teller at a bank, or whatever it might be. I serve people, you know, at their tables when they come to my restaurant. You know, this is not very spiritual stuff," is what you might say. In a sense, that might be true. In a sense, what Moses did was kind of special. It was in the Bible, right? My job's not in the Bible. I mean, there's something special about, there's something unique about what he did. But in another sense, the Bible teaches in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him." Now, if we're saying that work is where we spend a lot of our time, that means many of our ways are where? Are on the job. "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Or another translation says, "He will direct your path." The Bible says that God wants to direct the path that you take, that you walk in your life, even your career path. Did you know that God has a place for you? Isn't that exciting? You know, I believe many people today are looking for something to be a part of. And I think that's rooted in this idea. God made us for something, didn't he? I am supposed to be here for a reason. And your sense of that is true. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18 says, "But now God has placed," God sovereignly, that means God's been directing this, he's over it all. God placed the members, the body parts, he's talking about his people, he's talking about you if you're a child of God. "Now God has placed the members," each one of them, hear the individuality of that, he's talking about you, "each one of them in the body just as he desired." Now that's a different context than what we're discussing, but the principle is still the same. God made you to fit somewhere. And certainly, the area that you spend most of your life, you must assume is a part of his plan for your life. So back to the question. Do you know that you are currently doing what God wants you to do right now? Listen to the statement. Someone said, "Unless you can make a connection between what you do all day and what you think God wants you to be doing, you will never find ultimate meaning in your work and you will miss out on much of God's work in your life." Someone else said, "It's not what a man does, it's not what a woman does that determines whether their work is sacred, but why they're doing it." So then you say, "Well, but how do I know? How do I know that I'm doing what God wants me to do?" Well, there's probably a lot of different things we can say. In fact, if I was just going to say it in a nutshell, what I would just say is walk with God, okay? Just walk with the Lord. But let me give you some things that as I've observed in my life, as I've observed from the Lord's Word, as I've observed watching other people, how can you know that you are where God wants you to be? First of all, let me just say this. Let me give a caution. Please listen, Christian friends. Just because you receive an opportunity doesn't mean it's from God. Did you hear that? This is a mistake that I find that many Christians make. Many times Christians think, "Hey, I want to follow God. And this door opened up." In fact, that's the terminology that a lot of Christians use. "This door opened up." That must mean what? That must mean this was from God. That is not necessarily true. In fact, many times I think it is false. Many times we're looking, yeah. I mean, we're looking for God. We're seeking Him. And something comes along, I believe many times that's a detour that the enemy gives us because he knows we're kind of primed. We're looking for something, but we're not really as in tune with God. We're just kind of looking for something, and when something comes along, we take it. So be careful about that. Just because an opportunity, a job, comes along doesn't mean that's God's answer for you. Secondly, put to use what you know about how God works. When you're looking for where does God want me to be, think about how does God typically work? And how do you do that? Well, you take the wisdom, the truth that you've learned from God's Word. Hey, what else do I know about God? How do I know that God works? In fact, let me give you an example of that. If I was praying about a job, and a job opened up, and I said, well, Lord, now let's don't be dumb. It could be His answer, right? I'm not saying when something opens up, it's not His answer. But how do I know? If a job opened up that I knew would be detrimental to my marriage, would hurt my relationship with my kids, or some other way would compromise my relationship with the Lord, I don't have to pray about it. I don't have to struggle with that. Friend, just be set free from that. You don't have to worry, am I doing the right thing? Listen, you know that God, there's certain things that God wants you to be about. There's certain things that God wants you to be doing. Take what you already know about God and apply it to that situation. Many times we struggle over things that God's not given us. Also, take what you've observed in others who walk with Him. Do you know people who make good decisions? Do you know people who it seems like they're walking with God? It seems like their life's blessed. I mean, they make mistakes. They're sinners. But you see that it seems like things go well for them, that God's hand is upon their life. Watch people like that. Amen? Hang around people like that. See how they decide what they do with their life for the Lord. So put to use what you've already learned about how God works. Number three, have a spirit of seeking. Now, I could have just said, be praying. But I didn't say that. A lot of people come to me and say, well, I prayed about this. And they're wondering why it didn't work out. You know what many times I think happens? I think we say some words to God, and we call that a prayer. You know what prayer really is? Prayer is hungry for God, amen? It's seeking God. It's, God, I want to know You. I want to know Your will. And so if I want to know God, I'm going to pray, right? I'm going to talk to Him. But many people think that just saying words to God is some magic potion that supposedly, so if I say, God, I just want to know Your will, and something happens, then that must be His will. That's not necessarily true. Are we saying words, or are we hungry to know God's will? I'm not always sure what people mean when they say that. What we're saying here, though, is give God every... Listen, friend, are you hungry to know God? Yeah. Are you just looking for the answer you wanted? Are you hungry to know God? Give God every opportunity to speak to you. Why do I listen to Christian radio? Because I want to hear from God. Why do I listen to Christian music? Because I'm trying to be somebody special, or somebody, you know, or I think I'm better, or I don't like this. I'm not making any stuff. I just need to hear from God. Amen? I just need to hear from the Lord, and I don't trust myself. It only takes me a few minutes to get off the path. And so, especially if I'm seeking the Lord about a decision, Lord, speak to me. Get wise counsel, or listen to, again, and be careful. I'm not talking about information overload, but what I'm saying here is just crying out to God, staying primed and tuned in to God, just speak to me. I'm listening. I'm seeking You. God is faithful. He'll show you the way. I promise you. He says, you will seek Me and find Me when you seek for Me with all your heart. God is not hiding Himself from us. He wants us to know Him. Be excited about that. Number four, recognize God's work in your life. Listen, as you're here at this point in your life, you're thinking about a job. Is this right for me? Do you have some sense of what God has been doing in your life? Maybe some of us just need to pull away and have a retreat and just say, God, what is it that You've been doing in my life? Well, as I look back over my life, what are some of the patterns? What are some of the things that You've been speaking to me about? What are some of the things that You've been doing in my life? And take that and just say, God, what are You doing in my life right now? What do I sense now? Can You figure all this out? No, don't even try to. But I'm just saying, just be thinking, God, let's think about it. Where am I at in life? What might You be up to? Where do I have a sense? Now, again, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I can't presume to know all of God's will. But what do I have a sense that God has been leading me towards? Take all of that into account. What are your gifts? What are your abilities that God has given you? Dreams that God has given you? What are strengths or weaknesses that God has built into your life? Now, again, that doesn't mean that every job will make sense, like it'll fit some pattern. In fact, many times what happens is after you're done with that job, you look back and go, oh, that's where that fit. I mean, when I was working in a flour mill in North Carolina and Georgia, What? I'm going into ministry. I want to talk to people. And here I am in this flour mill with machines going and earplugs in my ears. I can't talk to anybody. They can't talk to me. What am I doing here? You ever felt like that? I thought you wanted me to go into ministry. You know what some people would do? They'd get depressed and discouraged and walk away from their call because they thought, oh, Lord, you must have turned your back on me. You know what I said? Lord, I don't know why, but you got me in this place for some reason. And I guess it's to talk to you. So that's what I did. I just talked to the Lord. Spent time with Him. Number five, make sure, this is important, make sure, if you want to know where God wants you, make sure you are dead to self. Ask yourself honestly, Christians, please listen. We're bad about mixing things, okay? You know what? We used to be completely without the Lord, amen? We used to be completely not thinking about God. Now, thank God, we're thinking about Him more. But we're working towards that He is the focus of our life. We're working towards not that we're thinking about Him more, but that we're what? Always thinking about Him, okay? But realize that you and I have this struggle. Sometimes me, I know it's bad grammar, but I'm just, okay, just go. Sometimes me slips in, right, to the process. So realize that. Is this what I want, honestly, or is this what God wants? Maybe you should think about it like this. Why would I take this job? Why would I do that? Is it because it fills some personal motivation, some personal agenda or desires that I have? Or is it because I believe it's part of the purpose that God is working in my life? Even if you can't put your finger on exactly, sometimes don't you have just a sense? I just believe God is doing something here and He's calling me to be a part of this. And again, don't try to mix those two. The Bible says the flesh and the spirit do not mix. Galatians 5:17. They not only don't mix, they're in opposition to each other. When you have flesh and spirit, typically you're going to go with flesh, okay? So just ask yourself, am I dead to self? So if we're going to make our work meaningful, we need to know that God's put us where we are. But secondly, you need to know, once you get there, that God has a purpose for you there. We not only need to know what job we're supposed to have, but why did God put me here? What did God have in mind? Some of you asked that anyway. What were you thinking? Okay, maybe not that way. Okay, let's not put it that. But God, what did you have in mind for me to accomplish by putting me in this place? Now, having some sense of that will make your work meaningful. The Bible says, in God's infinite wisdom, that God has set out a plan. Acts chapter 17, verse 24, the Apostle Paul was witnessing to some people. He said, okay, there's a God. This God made the world, made everything in it. We're talking big picture here, okay? You with me? Talking big picture here. There's a God. This God made everything in the world, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, and He does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. Paul's talking big picture here. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. We're looking from God's perspective. God decided where you were going to live, didn't He? God decided that you were going to grow up in the Northeast. God decided that you were going to be born in the family that you were born into. God decided that right now, at this point in your life, this is where you were going to be living. All this, God's decided, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. Do you begin to see that God is working out a big picture plan here? That I really sometimes give myself too much credit for having control over. God is in control. Acts 1:7, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8 tell us there are distinct appointed time periods that God has set for all that happens. Now let's bring that down to where we are. For some reason, right now, you are doing what you are doing. And I think the Lord would have us to think about that in a few different ways. My boss, the Lord, has me in the job that I'm in right now, or whatever I'm doing with my life. He has it, first of all, He has me there for other people. Friend, I want to tell you, when you go to work tomorrow, go with this, please, okay? First of all, God, I want to begin seeking. Do you want me here? I'd get the yes or no answer on that before you talk to your boss. Okay, just make sure you're clear first. But God, do you want me here? Be processing that. Be working. But God, if I am here and you do want me here, what is it for? And the first thing you ought to think about is If you're following Jesus, He must have me here for my coworkers. He must have me here for my supervisors. He must have me here for the customers that our company serves. So many times Christians say to me, Pastor, pray for me to get another job. There are no Christians where I work. I say, I'll do nothing of the sort. I am not praying that God's going to move you. Praise God you're there. Without you, who would pray for those people? Without you, who would pray with those people? Without you, who would invite them to church? Without you, how are they going to see Jesus Christ lived out in real life? They're not getting what you're getting. They're not reading the Word of God. They're not seeking the Lord in their life. And so you are God. God is working through you as His servant, and you are a representation of who God is through your life to them. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Now that assumes, if I said, would you turn the flashlight on, please? What would you assume? It's dark. So if God said, let your light shine, it must assume that you were in the midst of a bunch of darkness. You know, most Americans do not have a relationship with God. Research says 7 out of 10 people in our country do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And those 3 out of 10 that do are scared to talk about it. So if you know the Lord and you're halfway open to sharing Him, which by the way is just obedience to His commandment, if you are seeking to share Him, you don't have to struggle about it. You don't have to pray about it. You can know if God has put you somewhere, one of the primary reasons He put you in that place is you are in the ministry, called there to touch the lives of others for Him. You don't even have to pray about it. I mean, just go. You're there. Do it. One writer said there are pulpit ministers. Don't miss what I'm about to share with you because I think it's very important. Very important to the life and the ministry of our church family in obedience to God. There are pulpit ministers and there are marketplace ministers. Now, don't go with the terms too much, but just follow what I'm saying. But God expects all of us, no matter who we are, to serve His purposes where He put us. Let me give you an example of a marketplace minister. The Bible actually says in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, that law enforcement officials are ministers. It specifically says that. Law enforcement. If you are a policeman here today, congratulations. You are a minister. Have you ever noticed some foreign governments, isn't the British government, that call some of their leaders what? The minister of education or whatever. Isn't that interesting? We usually think of people who do what I do as ministers. Don't people say, who's your minister? You know, who's the minister at that church? But actually, and don't miss this, in God's eyes, our predominant view of ministry should not be that pulpit minister. When we think of ministry, we should primarily be thinking of marketplace ministers. In fact, and again, this is so powerful and so exciting to think about as a church family because I believe so many churches miss this. The Bible says that those who are called to be pulpit ministers or whatever you want to call it, those who are called to do that are actually the weird ones. They're the oddballs. Some people think, and you say, yeah, it's especially true in our case. No testimonies, please. The norm are marketplace ministers. God calls some people out of the marketplace, primarily out of the marketplace, so that they can train and equip others, but the focus is that the others would go back in. Now, that doesn't mean that people in spiritual roles like I have should not be in the marketplace, but what I'm saying is I used to be always in the marketplace. God has called me out to train and equip others so that we can do what? Go back in. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. Why? Primarily for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry to the building up of the body of Christ. So don't think to yourself, I wish I could be in the ministry. Wherever you find yourself, congratulations, you're in the ministry. The great missionary William Carey was once asked, what do you do for a living? He replied, I'm a servant of the Lord, and I make shoes to pay the expenses. That's the way you ought to think about it. I'm a servant of the Lord, no matter where I am. and this is what I do to pay the expenses. God no doubt has you primarily at your job. Friend, go there tomorrow automatically assuming God has me here to touch somebody's life. But secondly, and this ought to be encouraging to you, God also probably has you there for your life. He cares about you. That should not be your focus, but it ought to be encouraging for you to know God cares about your life. You can be sure, listen, you can be sure that this job is either a primary calling that God has called you to in life, or He's preparing you in that direction. He's preparing you in some way for something that He's doing in your life. Now, let's talk about that primary calling part. I remember when I was going through college and seminary, when I was working all these other different jobs, I'd always say, you know, I was happy doing what I was doing. I would have done it for the rest of my life, whether it was ministry or whether it was in the marketplace. I was happy doing what I was doing. But I had a sense, and some of you do too, there's something else. I had a sense about it. There's something else. There's something else God's preparing me for. I'm headed towards something. Now, that doesn't mean I went to work every day and said, I'm not going to do this job because I'm going to be doing something else one day. No, I just had a sense, and Shannon and I would talk about it. And guess what? When I came to New York and we started New Hope, I found it. This is what I was supposed to be doing, and I like that. I'm excited about it. I thank God for that. You could be on either end of that. You could be on your way to something, or you could be right in the middle of what God's been preparing you for. Most of the time, and in a sense, even though I found what I believe God was preparing me for, God's still doing work in my heart. Amen? So most of the time, you're in process. Instead of fighting that, just get over it and go with it. Amen? Somebody said, and I like this, maybe the journey is the destination. Instead of always trying to get somewhere, maybe what God's wanting to do in our lives is to teach us about walking with Him. Maybe that's the whole destination in the first place. Very likely what you're in right now is teaching you something, isn't it? It's possible, are you getting excited? It's possible what you are doing with your life right now might be positioning you for a relationship that you need to have. It might be positioning you for God's timing in your life. It might be positioning you with some training or equipping you need or some character development, whatever it is. I think about the song Hidden Valleys. Anybody ever heard that song about David? When God wants a king, what does He do? He takes a shepherd. He develops him on the back 40 where nobody else even knows him. Here's God's leadership development plan. Go get a bunch of sheep. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You think David had great dreams for his life? Oh, I'm going to be a king one day. Bah, bah. No. You know, he's just a little boy. Hey, what do you think little boys do? Throw rocks. He'd sit there and just another day out with the sheep. Bet I can tag that one, you know. Just doing his job, faithful. You read the story about David, he was just faithful, doing his job, not very impressive. Got excited just to be able to go to the battle lines and see what the action's going on. But you know what? He didn't realize that little boring rock throwing thing, God kind of used that. Amen? He's pretty straight on with the giant. And he eventually became a king. God uses hidden valleys to develop shepherds into kings. Now again, don't get over carried away or over analytical. Don't go to your job tomorrow and say, man, I don't really go for this stuff because I'm going somewhere else one day. People don't want to hear that. And your boss doesn't want you to think that you're they're a stepping stone on the way to something. But I'm just saying, in your heart, just have a sense. God's doing something in me. God's preparing me. The biblical example is you just do what you're supposed to do in a way that honors God, and without your help, God will get you where you need to be. Amen? You just be faithful right where you're at. But sometimes we can sit back and say, God, you're up to something. And I sense that. And I welcome that. And I'm looking for that. But I'm also going to be faithful right where I'm at right now. Hey, college student working at Dunkin' Donuts. He said, I don't like doing what I'm doing. I don't like making donuts. I'm sick of coffee. If you know you're where you're supposed to be right now, then trust God in it. God's teaching you character. Or you know what? You didn't know something. You didn't know something. But in 2 months, you're going to find out. Dunkin', I'm just making this up. But in two months, you may find out Dunkin' Donuts has a great scholarship program. And God is positioning you to provide your expenses for you. You know what? You don't know this, but 10 years from now, that person that you're ringing up those donuts with, standing right beside you, that coworker, that person is going to be in a key position of leadership at another company. And they're going to see you at early stages in your life being a faithful worker. And when you get to a point in your life where you're at that place where God's going to move you forward in something, that person's going to know you, and that person's going to help you with that job offer. Isn't that awesome? Now, again, don't live like that. Don't live like everybody around here is helping me. This is all part of a bigger plan. You know, that gets on people's nerves. And God just says, be faithful today. But be excited. Go with expectation. God's doing something. I'm here for a reason. Romans 8:28 says, if you love God and you are called according to His purpose, man, you ought to get excited, because God's working out everything for your good and for His glory. Isn't that awesome? You know, it might be for other people. It might be for you. But it might be even for a bigger purpose. Now, I've said all along, I've cautioned, don't try to analyze all this and try to figure it out. But maybe get excited about it. Maybe God is doing what He's doing in your life for some bigger purpose. Do you remember the story about Joseph? Remember what the drama Phil did a few weeks ago? Okay, the book of Genesis tells us, I think it's chapter 45, verses 7 and 8, tells us that what God was doing through Joseph was a part of a bigger purpose. When Joseph got sold into slavery, he wasn't thinking, oh, God's got a plan. God's going to deliver a whole nation through me. I'm so excited to be in slavery. When he got done wrong all those times, is that what he was thinking? No. He struggled, yes. But he remained faithful to the Lord. And God, listen, friend, God delivered a whole nation of people. God kept the promise. All throughout the Old Testament, there's a threat that the promise of the Savior was going to get cut off. And Joseph was used as one person in the Old Testament to keep the promise alive. Isn't that awesome? When you get to heaven, is it possible that you say, why did I have that job just for 3 months and then they laid me off? What was the purpose in that? That seems so arbitrary. It seems like it didn't make a difference. Is it possible that there's a person that you're working with right now that you don't know it, and you won't know it till you get to heaven, but that person is the next youth evangelist like Billy Graham? You don't know it. You'll never know that. All you can do is just say, God, I don't know why I was there for 3 months, but I trust you with it. But later, God's going to show you. Friend, I really believe God is doing more than we can ever see. Amen? Do you believe that? Even where you work and live. What about Esther? She was told, maybe God raised you up. Maybe you are here for such a time as this. Did any of those Old Testament people, probably not many of them, realize that their story was being written? They just lived for God, and later their story was told. What if your story was told later? What is God going to show is happening as a result of your life, as a result of you giving God every part of your life, even that part that seems the most meaningless? If you want your work to be meaningful, you need to know God has a purpose for you there. It's either for others, it's for something He's doing in your life, and or it may be a part of a bigger picture. As we close out this message and this series, I want to wrap it all up with a couple things. Now listen up. I know your job is important, but don't get too uptight about it, okay? Let's don't get too bent out of shape about this stuff. Hey, especially when you realize, did you know most people have many jobs in life? The average job lasts 3.2 years. That means over the course of your working life, you're going to have about 15 different jobs. Now, some of that speaks of our restlessness, of our lack of commitment. But some of it speaks of a constantly changing world, right? The world's changing. Incidentally, young people, that's why it's not a bad idea for maybe you as you go to college not to think so much of preparing for a specific job as much as a general direction or a general path. Because if you put all your thoughts and all your energy in one specific job, that job may not even be there when you get done. It may have changed. So think about a direction. Think about a path. Think about a general course of direction that God would give for your life. But all of us should not let that job get the best of us. You're probably going to be doing something else one day, 3.2 years if you're average. Somebody says, okay, I got 0.5 left. I'm not promising. I'm just saying that's the average. Just let God fulfill His purpose for you right now in that place. Secondly, I believe what God's been teaching us through this series, this study, is God wants us to live out our faith all day, every day. If you look at Ephesians 5 and 6, which is what this series has come from, Ephesians 5 started us on this idea that God wants you to walk with Him daily. And He said, listen, two of the areas that that's going to be most challenging, is it not true, are your family and your job. In speaking of America, one Chinese believer said, it's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting, it's that it's never truly been tried. It's been kept to Sunday and not carrying over into Monday. In fact, many people believe, you know, I talked about that big picture thing. Do you sense that God is up to something in our world? Do you sense that God's Spirit is moving in a special way? I do. I know the world's getting bad. It's going to continue to get bad. It's actually going to get worse. But I also believe that God is stepping up and He's doing some neat things. Listen to what someone said. One Bible teacher said the first Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, the 1500s, was about getting the Word of God into people's hands. The second one that he said he believes is happening now is about accomplishing the work of God through God's people doing ministry where they live. It's not getting the Word into people's hands, but doing the work through the people's hands. Another way to put it is the first Reformation was about Scripture being available to all. The second one is about Scripture being lived out by all in everyday life. So here's the last question, the last two questions for you. Is God at work on your job? The answer is most definitely yes. God is up to something where you work. But the real question for you is, have you given your part of that job to the Lord? Maybe you come to the end of this series with no more answers, really. Maybe more questions. You don't know how that would work. You don't know how that would look like. But would you just start by saying yes? I don't even know, Lord. Yeah, I don't know what yet. But I just say yes, Lord. I know You're speaking to me about what I do with my life. And I want to give it to You. Would You show me how to do that? Would You do that today? Would You lay it down to Him? Would You say to Him, God, if You want me to give up this job, that's what I'll do. God, if You're showing me You're calling me to do something else, that's what I'll do. God, if You're showing me that You want me to stay here, but I want to do something else, that's what I'll do. Whatever it is right now, would you lay it down to Him? And really, what that reminds us of is the really bigger picture, and it's that God wants your life. We're talking about your job, but we could just as well be talking about your family, your finances, the decisions you're making, the direction you're taking with your life. And really, what we probably need to talk about is where you stand with God. If you died today, do you know if this life was over, would you know it had meaning? And would you know you have hope? Because without Him, I've got to stand before Him and give an account for my life. And I'm not going to be able to, the Bible says. I can kid myself, but we really know in our hearts, don't we? We're not ready for that. And today, God has given you what you need to be ready. Jesus, He died for you. That's what He died for. So your sins could be forgiven. You could be cleansed. You could turn away from that old way of doing life. And you could trust in God and His way. Would you do that today? If that's what you need to do, let's pray together. As we bow before the Lord, I want to ask you a question. What would it be like if everybody in this church family went to work, whatever you do this week, believing what we've shared? What would it be like? Some of us right now would be nervous if somebody walked through the door this morning and came to our church from your work, because they'd see you singing a song, or they'd see you taking up offering, or they'd see you in church here today. But they don't see you like that. Your mouth is different at work. Your attitude is different at work. The way you deal with other people is different at work than the way you deal with your Bible study members. And God's wanting to speak to you about that, isn't He? That's not right. It starts with you saying, "Yes, Lord, I see that. And I don't like it. Help me to change it." Would you say that to Him today? You say, "I've blown it." Somebody came up to me last night and said, "You know what? I've had jobs over the years and they're gone. They're gone. Those people, those relationships, those opportunities are gone." You know what? You may just have to wrap that up and give it to the Lord. Lord, would You sort all that out? Would You take care of those people? Would You bring them another faithful witness, even though I wasn't? But God, would You help me, starting right now, today, to never let that be said about my life? In just a moment, we're going to sing this song together. Great song for what we've talked about today. Listen to the words as we sing it. But if God is speaking to you, would you talk to Him about that? If you need to talk to somebody, I'm going to be down front. If you need to pray, if you're ready to receive Christ, friend, don't leave this building today before you get that sure. We're not promised another day.